Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, this is going to be a fun little talk to have. but let's just start with some words that I found on the back cover of your book. It says, rekindle your desire. Wouldn't you like to want sex again? So this is all to suggest that our desire has waned and we don't want sex. So what happened there?
Well, interestingly enough, Americans are having less sex than ever before and less sex than people in a lot of other countries. And I think that's very surprising. We live in one of the most sexualized cultures I think we've ever lived in. With, you know, we're bombarded with sexual imagery and, you know, on the internet and in movies and on TV. And yet Americans actually are not having much sex at all. 40 million adult Americans in couple relationships aren't having sex, which I think is interesting. And a third of women say they either don't like sex or don't feel like having sex.
Those are pretty staggering amounts. And do we expect to have that sort of relationship in our marriages or in our intimate relationships? I mean, is it wrong? Do some couples just say it's okay that we don't want sex and we're not having it?
I think it is actually okay if you're both okay with it. I do. But in my experience, in my practice, I'm an acupuncturist in New York, and I treat reproductive and sexual issues. And in my experience, people do want to have sex again. People do miss it. They miss that connection with their partner, and they're a little bewildered as to why it's dwindled.
You say that good sex is, and you say good sex, is important to a person's health and happiness. Now, you must see this from an energetic level because you're an acupuncturist. So talk us about that a little bit.
Well, I do. And I based this book on some 2,000-year-old Taoist texts that talked a lot about how sex is an important way of creating mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual connection between two people. But good sex is good for you. You know, it lowers your levels of cortisol, which is your stress hormone, and it raises your levels of oxytocin, which is your bonding hormone. So it's relaxing and connecting. It's good for your health. It's good for your blood pressure. It increases immunity. There's plenty of research that shows that people who have a good sex life have a lower, a better perception of pain and more energy and better mood. And it creates strong bonded relationships. So I encourage people not to let that side of their life go, but to work at it.
Jill, back to that question of how we ended up getting to a place where people aren't really having sex and they're okay with that. We did a recent interview and the term hedonic adaptation came up, and that's basically where you become comfortable with the joy of life and you become comfortable with the sorrow of life because, you know, you experience it so often that you lose appreciation. So is that what is happening to people in relationships? They've been together so long that they just forget how to appreciate one another, and the way it manifests itself is in no sex?
I think that's part of it. It's a hedonic adaptation is a really interesting term, and I think it made me think as you said it. I think that is part of it. I think people get a little bored, but mostly the people I see tell me one of three things. They either say, "Oh, Jill, I'm so tired. By the time I put the kids to bed or whatever it is at the end of the day at work, I just don't even think about sex." So I hear that a lot, and I hear I'm too stressed. And of course, in order to have good sex, you have to have your head in the game. You need to be present, and stressed tends to make you either, you know, in the future worrying about tomorrow or in the past thinking about something that happened yesterday. And in order to enjoy a sexual pleasure, you really do have to stay in your body and be here now. So I think people get very stressed and distracted, and people tell me, you know, I find myself doing my to-do list in my head while I'm having sex and things like that. And then I think the thing we talked about before, where we live in this very sexualized culture, I think it makes people feel bad about themselves. A lot of people tell me they don't feel very sexy. They worry about, you know, their cellulite or their muffin top or the jiggly bit under their arm, and it makes them feel bad about themselves.
Well, and so we have to practice a lot of elements of relationship, and it sounds like, you know, you're talking specifically about sex, but also in some very broad terms about relationship maintenance in general.
Yes, and a lot of the book actually is about relationships and not really about sex. I talk a lot about, the ancient Taoists talked a lot about balance in relationships, balancing up yin and yang and balancing in a relationship. And I think relationships slide out when they become unbalanced. And I think all of us who are in long-term relationships know what that feels like, that sometimes your relationship just gets unbalanced. One of you is working very hard and the other's having to pick up the domestic slack, and eventually everybody just starts to not feel good. And then it's time to rein it back in and bring everybody back into balance a little bit. So we do, we talk about how an unbalanced relationship starts to unbalance your own health and affect your own health. And I think seeing it that way, in my own relationship, I've been married for a long time. That's how I keep my own relationship on an even keel, is thinking, where is it out of balance at the moment?
Jill, I'm wondering if a big part of where relationships are out of balance is the communication piece. It seems like, as I read through your book, communication, and specifically communication about sex, is so important.
Very important. And we look at communications in lots of different ways in the book. We have an exercise called Talk About It, and we suggest that you do talk and you ask your partner for things that you like and make suggestions. Certainly a lot of foreplay happens in your head, and so communicating all day, little notes, nice gestures, kind texts, all of that is really important. And there's also physical communication. It's why I have a whole chapter on massage, which is another form of intimacy and communication. And if you think of communication as just giving and receiving, which is really what it is, then you can do that physically as well. And so we have several massages in the six-week program for people to do with their partner.
Definitely great. Go ahead.
You hit on 9 or 10 different elements to maintaining the practice of sex, Jill. And could you go through, you know, just a summary of those?
I could. When I started to think, you know, what could I tell people just in a nutshell they should do? And the first thing, and I don't wish to sound trite, but the first thing I end up telling my patients is just do it. You know, the more sex you have, the more sex you'll want. And I sometimes say, look, I don't want to sound like a sneaker commercial here, but what are you waiting for? You know, just do it. People say, well, I'm waiting to lose weight, or I'm waiting till my husband is, you know, does this, or, you know, takes the trash out or something like that. But sometimes it works to get back into your body and out of your head. And so I talk about that. I talk about the importance of breathing. Breathe in, breathe out. A deep breath right the way down into your pelvic area sends energy all the way down your body. So purposeful breathing keeps you in your body. We talked a little bit about keeping your head in the game, which is my next tip, actually, is you need to learn how to focus. People who do mindful meditation, those people in clinical research have better sex lives. And I think it's because they've learned how to stay present and really appreciate the sensations that are going on in their body. So we have lots of exercises in the book, some of them really fun to keep you in your body. And then one of the things I say is have a quickie. A lot of people think they need to have a great big production, but you know, sometimes if you have little kids and you don't have much time, then a quickie is all you have time for. And as long as it's not the only thing you ever do, I think it's a great way of having connection. And my patients tell me, you know, I did what you said and we had a quickie and I felt good about my husband all day. I felt connected to him all day. We also talk a bit about bringing kissing back. I have a whole chapter on kissing, and I say to people, you know, if you read nothing else in this book, read the chapter on kissing, because I think that's one of the first things that goes in a relationship is kissing. And we say in the book, kiss your partner longer than it takes to sneeze. And there are some really good chemical reasons why kissing is very bonding. So that's another one of my tips for people. And then the rest of my tips are really exercises that come in the six-week program, and they're meant to give people some choices, really, because I think boredom, I think we alluded to that earlier on, boredom is part of this, and so having some choices to mix it up seems like a good idea.
So can you hear me? We're having a little problem. Can you
hear me? Yeah, no, I can hear you.
Okay. We've been having a few little technical problems, but okay. I wanted to ask about kissing, and I wanted to relate this example of a friend of mine who'd been married for 20 years, and she didn't like to kiss her husband, which, you know, kissing is the first thing, right?
Yeah.
So I said, well, why don't you? I mean, have you never told him how you like to be kissed? She said, well, no. And this goes back to the communication and how people, I mean, you don't want to tell someone, your partner, that they're doing it wrong, but how do you give some tips for, you know, saying, this part I like, here's what we can work on. I mean, you know what I'm getting at, that we don't want to deflate someone's.
I do. I think it's a really good question. In the book, we have an exercise called Kiss Them Like You Want to Be Kissed, where you swap with your partner and you do this exercise where you kiss your partner like you'd like them to kiss you. And it's often quite revealing. And certainly when I did that with my husband, I was like, oh, we've been married a long time. Oh, is that what you've been wanting? So that's an interesting exercise. But in general, I encourage people not to drop on kissing. It's one of the most intimate things you can do. Your lips and your tongue are very sensitive. Your lips have a thinner layer of skin than anywhere else in your body, and under that skin, more sensory neurons than almost anywhere else. So kissing is a very important sensual and sexual trigger, and it's worth putting in some practice.
And things like kissing, any of these issues, require to step into that level of intimacy.
Yeah.
It requires a certain amount of courage and vulnerability to be able to open yourself to what you just said, that you've been married to your husband for a number of years, and, oh, that's what he's been waiting for.
Yes, but it's lovely to find out something new about someone that you thought you knew everything about, I think. I think that's part of being in a long relationship, is going deeper and deeper and deeper with the same person. It's almost a spiritual practice, really. And it does require some courage, and it does require vulnerability. But being connected to someone else's vulnerability makes you feel very tender and soft towards them. And I think that's one of the things that good sex does in a relationship. You can get quite hard and brittle with your partner if you're not careful. You know, little resentments build up day to day. And good sex is very tender and vulnerable. And that vulnerability is what connects you.
Can you have good sex to break through some of those barriers that have built up, some of that scar tissue?
I believe so. I think, obviously you could go the other way and talk about the scar tissue and take it down that way. But in Chinese medicine, we would say that you can also heal your emotional wounds by having good sex. And that, you know, sometimes you can't talk your way out of a problem, but you can resolve it sort of physically by creating more intimacy.
Chuck one up for the Chinese. Well played, China.
Jill, I have a question. It's a really big question, but it's simple. Can you manufacture chemistry?
Oh, it's such a good question, and I'm not sure I know. I think so. I mean, I think there may be some chemistry that is magical and that you can't manufacture, but if you used to have chemistry and you don't have it anymore, then it can be rekindled, which is the point of this book. And I think lack of chemistry in a relationship sometimes is the result of lots of little resentments and angers and wounds and, as you called it, scar tissue building up. And that looks like lack of chemistry. And as you dismantle those walls, you find that you do still have the very same things you had when you started out, that very chemistry that you started out with.
That's a good answer. I like that. So one final question about the energetic connection you say that sex brings us. Can we get that same connection by doing anything else, or is it particular to sex?
Yes, I think you can get that energetic connection in all sorts of ways with people. But sex creates a special energetic connection. The ancient Taoists considered it very spiritual. It's one of the few experiences we have where we merge with someone else and we get a sense that we are all one, which is a very spiritual experience. And in the book, we have exercises that help encourage that connection. We have a thing called the loop where we teach people to circulate sexual energy in their own body and then circulate energy between themselves and their partner. And then we do that with synchronized breathing, so that you start to feel very, very connected. And then we add a little squeeze, a little pelvic squeeze, so that we concentrate energy in the genitals. And people who really practice that loop and get good at it, my patients who do it report that sex becomes a way more connected and more whole body experience than it was before.
You know, we've been told, and I've read for years, and maybe it's just me, but I think there's this conception out there that men and women experience the energy of sex differently. And I'm not talking about the act, the physical act, but more the energy around sex. Is that a misconception or is that true?
No, I think that's true to a certain extent. I mean, to a certain extent, on the one hand, we all experience that intimacy in the same way, I think. But the ancient Chinese would say that men are much more young, so they're much more visual, and they need visual cues to get going, whereas women are much more yin, and they need emotional cues to get going. There are ways that we're different. And in the book, what I did, actually, when I finished writing it, it was a very female perspective. And my husband, Noah Rubenstein, is an acupuncturist, and he treats all the men in our practice. And he read it and decided to add his own view at the end of every chapter. So there's a he says section at the end of every chapter where he gives a guy's point of view. And it was actually really illuminating for me to read what he had to say. And I know that women read those sections. He wrote them for guys, but women read them to find out what guys think.
Like, wait, thanks so much for joining us today. I do have one final question, and that is, if we're stuck, I mean, it's Valentine's Day, and if we're stuck in that, what do? I don't want to go out to dinner again, get flowers, chocolate. Give us a little practice that we can do with our partner on Valentine's Day.
Well, there's a meditation in the book called a kiss in the book called the Chocolate Kiss. And as it's Valentine's Day and as people eat chocolate on Valentine's Day, this might be actually a good practice. So you take some chocolate and you share it in a kiss. Some people find that a really yucky idea. If you do, then you don't have to do it. But it's a very intimate thing to do, and you pass the chocolate backwards and forwards whilst kissing.
Sounds fun.
I think it sounds fun.
All right. Jill, thanks so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.